bless you.
Bless you.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him some more praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise him like he's worthy. Let's praise him like he's done something for us. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. Come on, he's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. I thank God that he inhabits our praises. There's absolutely none like him, and he's worthy to be praised. There's a word for the house today. Been pondering on it since Pastor asked me to speak. I think it's a rhema word, and it's a right now word. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads real quick. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify your name. There's absolutely no one like you, Lord. We bless you in your holiness, Lord God. We thank you that you have given us the victory, Lord God. We thank you that there is no weapon that has been formed against us that shall prosper, Lord God. And we say that every tongue that rises against us in judgment, you've given us the ability to condemn, because that's our heritage, Father God. It is what you've given to us, Lord God. You said that you've given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. Father God, we walk in your victory. We walk in your confidence, Lord God. We walk in your glory today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Now, I just ask, Father God, that you would make the book talk today, Lord God. I thank you for a fresh anointing, Father God, on myself and on this word, Lord God. And I'll be so careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. It's in your son, Jesus' name, we pray and we love you. Amen. Give him some praise. And while we're standing, let's go ahead and go to Ephesians 6, verse 10. Hallelujah. Yeah, I messed that up. So let's go to Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Hallelujah. Here we go. When you get this, say amen. And it reads, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Then, with your belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Before you take your seats, I need you to seriously look at least three people in the eye and tell them, prepare for war. Hallelujah. You can have your seats. So the title this morning is Prepare for War, with a subtitle of We're Under Attack. If you haven't seen the urgency that's going on in our country, we would have to have our head in the sand, amen? There's no time greater than right now that we make a stance for Christ, amen? An assault has been launched against you and your family by the enemy. Okay, I'm gonna say that again. An assault has been launched against you and your family. Now, I don't say that to scare you. I don't say that to make you fearful. I'm just telling you the reality of walking this walk as a believer. We're always on the radar, and we're always a target. Amen? John 10 and 10 is clear. It tells us that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But it goes on to say, but I came that they may have life and that life more abundantly. Amen? 1 Peter 5 and 8. My brother Bill preached this last week or week before last. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering. See, the world has a saying that says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. I'm going to take it a step further as a believer because we're not of the world. But as a believer, I say, if you don't stand for Christ, you will fall for anything. See, the thing is, as smart as we think we might be, we're no match against the enemy apart from Christ whatsoever. And see, that's the trickery that he brings our way. He lets us think that we can handle him on our own when we can't. Because see, the one thing is sometimes we get a little prideful. I can do this on my own. I don't need help. I don't need that iron to sharpen iron. But we need other believers around us to help us through this process. Amen. Let's break down Ephesians 6, 10 through 8. Verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So it's about his power. It's not about ours. It's about his power. Now, how we obtain that power is by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. That's how we get the power. Amen? Amen. Let's look at verse 11. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The Amplified Version says strategies or deceits. What are the devil's schemes and strategies? See, because I'm a military guy. So being in the military, one of the things that we always did, we ran surveillance. We always went and scoped out the enemy to see how we could defeat them. Nothing has changed when it comes to being a man in the army of the God. Nothing has changed with being a soldier in the army of God. Amen? Amen? So let's look at these schemes because we have to understand what we're battling against. Now, as I give you these strategies and schemes, I'm going to give you the most effective weapon that you could ever use against him, the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So first, the attack is upon our minds and our emotions. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says that we should take every thought captive that would attempt to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And we are to bring that thought into captivity and make sure it's obedient to Christ. Amen? So when these thoughts are going through your head that you know aren't godly, take them captive. You got to take them captive. See, that's the other part. We let stuff linger. We can't let this stuff linger. Amen? On a daily basis, our minds are inundated with ungodly stuff. TV. Whew, internet. You name it. He's coming at us from every direction. And what it is to throw us off. Amen? Our emotions. Stop making emotional decisions. I'm going to say it again. Stop making emotional decisions. You know, there's a saying that everybody's saying now, get out your feelings. Because we really do. We need to get out our feelings because what happens is we make a decision based on how we're feeling, and it's a rash decision. And then we got to backtrack and say, man, I don't think I should have said that. I don't think I should have done that. So we have to get out of our feelings. So those are two ways that he comes at us, through our minds and our emotions. Now, these attacks, they come in the form of condemnation, doubt, fear, evil thoughts, and depression. But it would be remiss of me to tell you these schemes and these strategies if I didn't give you your weaponry, because you need the weaponry, and the weaponry is the word. So for condemnation, Romans 8 and 1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit, there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation is a feeling of guilt. You're not worthy. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit. And the job of conviction is to turn you back toward Him. Amen. So let's look at doubt. This is a big one. This is a big one that many believers struggle with when it comes to doubt. But Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then it goes on to verse 6 and says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. Let's look at fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So when these thoughts and these strategies that he tries to use against you, you got to come back with the word. In Matthew 4, what did Jesus use when the devil kept coming at him? The word. He set the example for us. And I'm not sure why we don't use his example more in our lives. Amen? Now, what I feel are one of the most effective strategies that he uses against the world and believers today, three things: technology, fame, and busyness. Technology can be good, but you can't let the technology have you. I'm not going to look directly at anybody. I'm not going to point any fingers. If you would have left your cell phone home today and you drove to the church, you'd have went back home and got it. That's when you know that technology has you and you don't have it. You're not in control of it. Amen? The fame and fortune. The one of the things I deal with a lot of kids, everybody going to be the next rap star. They play Fortnite and write lyrics. No, get you a job. That's what you need to do. Get you a job. Now, you can still work on them lyrics while you're on your break at your job, but get you a job. Amen? Busyness. This is a large one right here when it comes to busyness. When I thought about business, I thought about Martha and Mary. Let's look at Luke 10:38-42. And it reads, and Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. I submit to you today that we are too busy and the enemy is using it against us. Yeah, we can say, I'm just doing the work of the Lord. No, listen. There's a priority that God has. All right? God, when I say family, I'm going to break it up. So it's God, if you're married, it's your spouse, then it's your kids. Let's park right there. Because I'm seeing far too often, and this is one of the schemes and strategies of the enemy, we're putting our kids before our spouse. So let me help you out with this. When you get married, the vows say, till death do you part. The Bible tells us with our kids, you train them up, send them out. So God already told us what his priority is. But we spend more time worrying about Johnny getting the tennis, Sarah getting the soccer, Tommy getting over here. 25 years go by, you got an empty nest, and you have no idea who you're living with. Because you've invested all your time into the temporary thing, which you were supposed to raise them and send them out. Amen. So let me speak to the men right there for a minute. See, we are the watchmen over our homes and those that God has entrusted to us. Don't let your quest for fame and fortune rob you of precious time with your family. Pastor taught us something about years ago when we first came here. He called it the 10-year rule. So if Zoe has a swim meet and there's a service going on, or we'll say a meeting, church meeting, whatever it might be, but it's dealing with the church and then you got the family here. And so Zoe has a swim meet and I tell her, I can't make it. I got to go to church. 10 years from now, Zoe will remember whether or not I was at her swim meet. The church might not even be existing anymore. So you got to understand, you got to get your priorities straight. So we got God, we got spouse, we got kids. Now, I interchange church and work, and this is why. If I have a job that calls me to work on Sunday, and I tell them I'm not coming in, I'm going to church, don't be surprised when you come back on Monday if there's something pink on your desk telling you to clean your desk out. So you got to use wisdom in there. You got to use wisdom. And some people are employed by the church, so that's differently. That's different. So we have to be mindful of that. So remember, men, we're watchmen. Let's look at Ezekiel 33:1-9. Ezekiel 33:1-9. And this is big. God speaks highly of the watchmen and his responsibilities, because we are the watchmen over our homes. I've never in a long time seen something going on in the neighborhood and somebody comes to the house and they knock on the door and say, where's your mama? No. They knock on the door and say, where your dad at? That's what they do, because it's known we are the head of our homes. Whether or not we roll in those responsibilities or not, we're still held accountable for that. And there's something about the terminologies that God uses to describe us. See, because if you cut the head off, the body dies. And he knows that. Men, that's why we're constantly under attack with all the different things that come through the airways. That's why we are constantly under attack, because he's trying to cut the head off. Amen? Let's look at Ezekiel 33. It says, once again, a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give your people this message. When I bring an army against a country, the people of that land choose one of their own to be a watchman. When the watchman sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm to warn the people. Then, if those who hear the alarm refuse to take action, it is their own fault if they die. Let's put a period right there. So let me help some parents out that have grown children. You train them, you raise them, and you got to let them go. You got to let God do what he's going to do with them. Because they have to make that choice. They have to make that commitment to Christ. They can't make it in on your salvation. They have to make that commitment themselves. They have to make that confession themselves. Amen? Amen? Verse 5. They heard the alarm but ignored it. So it's their, it's the responsibility of, is theirs. If they listen, I'm sorry, if they had listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives. Verse 6. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and doesn't sound the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. They will die in their sins, but I will hold the watchman responsible for their deaths. So I'll say again, man, do you see how important our responsibilities are in our home as we oversee it? We've got to oversee our homes. Amen? Verse 7, now, son of man, I am making you a watchman for the people of Israel. Therefore, listen to what I say and warn them for me. If I announce that some wicked people are sure to die, and you fail to tell them to change their ways, then they will die in their sins, and I will hold you responsible for their deaths. But if you warn them to repent and they don't repent, they will die in their sins, but you will have saved your life. Brothers and sisters, there's a few things that we must do. We must watch, we must pray, and we must warn. We must watch, we must pray, and we must warn. And see, the thing is, we can't be overly concerned about what somebody thinks about us, because we struggle with that. We care more about what people think about us than what God thinks about us. He gives us instruction to go to somebody, and the first thing we say is, God, well, what if they don't? Okay, God sent you. And what I found is that when I used to struggle with that, I said, God, I don't know. Every time I went to them, they were always receptive. See, that's the trick of the enemy. That's that doubt that we talked about a little earlier. Amen? But if we're so busy that we're missing our time to sit at the feet of Jesus to get the wisdom and understanding, we leave gates open. Men, brothers and sisters, we leave gates open. And the enemy is always looking for an open gate. If he can't get to you, he's coming after your kids. How many of us cover our kids before they go to school in the morning? We should. If we aren't, we should. Because the enemy desires to sift them as wheat. If he can't get at you, he will get at the thing that he knows you care about, which is your kids. And kids, we're not trying to keep you from having fun. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to God to raise you in the admonition of the Lord. So when we tell you stuff, this ain't about we trying to keep you from having fun. We're trying to keep your tail safe is what we're doing. Listen, I love my daughter Zoe, but I don't mind her being mad at me. She'll be all right. I need you to tell three more people, prepare for war. We're under attack. There is an urgency in the spirit for us to ready ourselves for war. Don't think that you're off the radar. If you're breathing, you're on the radar. He wants to sift you as wheat. He's not our friend. He doesn't care about us. He really doesn't. Now, when I was in the military, let me find my phone here. There was something that I found many parallels that, this might be a little loud, but I found many parallels that transformed to being enlisted in the military and enlisted in the army of God. Now, for those that have been in the military, especially the Navy, you'll recognize this sound right away. Let me explain something to you about manning your battle stations. Woo. When that alarm went off, when it goes off on the ship, you don't know what's going on. You can be in a dead sleep. On the top rack, that alarm goes off. I found myself jumping out of that rack, not even remembering how I got my coveralls on to get to my battle station. Because what's happening is the watchman has seen something dangerous that could affect the lives of everybody on that ship. And so they call general quarters, and you don't know. You're running. People are on the starboard side. You got to go one way on the port side. And so you got to understand, people are waking up out of a dead sleep and having to get to their battle stations. Now, you can't say, well, you know, I'm going to just lay here in the bed. Because you don't know. You don't know what's going on, so you got to get to your battle station. So it is with us in the spirit. General quarters is being sounded. And we got to understand the seriousness that's going on in our families, the lives of our families, those that we love and care about. The enemy's coming at them. I know marriages are struggling. Marriages in this building are struggling. But we'll smile, we'll act like everything is okay. The enemy is coming after the family unit because it was ordained by God, period. You keep taking it personal. You just collateral damage. He's coming after your family. He's coming after marriages. He's coming after your kids. Oh, Jesus, be offense. Let's look at verse 12. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Let's put a pin right there. So the first thing that came to mind when I read this was civil war. Civil war is a conflict between citizens of the same country. If you and I are on the same team, Team Jesus, why are we fighting? Okay, so maybe you grew up in a denomination that believes this or believes that. Maybe you grew up non-denominational. Where is Jesus in all of it? That's all I want to know. Because if we're debating back and forth on the minors, let's go right back to Jesus. What does the Word of God say concerning whatever it is that you're debating and arguing about? Amen? We have to know the strategies of our enemy. We are experiencing many friendly fire incidents in the body of Christ. Friendly fire is a weapon fire coming from one's own side. Especially fires that causes injury or death to one's own forces. Too many friendly fires in the body of Christ. Too many believers can't get along. That's not pleasing to God. You know, somewhere in there, somebody has to be the bigger person and say, you know what? I'm going to say I'm sorry, even though it may not be my fault. If that's what will bring peace, because when you don't, that's the enemy. That's schemes of the enemy. We got to understand him. As I was studying this, I began to think more and more about the parallels between me enlisting in the military and confessing and enlisting in the army of God. So when I enlisted in the military, I had to take an oath. For all the military people out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I want to read the definition of what an oath is. An oath is a solemn promise, often invoking a divine witness regarding one's future action or behavior. So when I took the oath in the military, it went something like, I, Brian Rice, do solemnly swear and affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to regulations in the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. So just as I took an oath to enlist in the military, I made a confession to enlist in the army of God. And that confession goes like this. I, Brian Rice, do confess and believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead and that he has ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father to intercede on my behalf. I will obey the word of God and its commandments, live them out to the best of my ability, and obey the leaders that have been appointed over me as these leaders follow Christ according to the word of God. Holy Spirit, help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. In the military, listen closely. In the military, I was not issued my gear that was to be used for war until I took the oath. I'm going to say that one more time. In the military, I was not issued my gear that was supposed to be used for war until I took the oath. They had to know I was committed. I just couldn't go down to the MEP station and say, hey, listen, I'm looking to do something, and they just hand me my gear. No, I had to raise my hand, and I had to read that oath that I just told you. I had to raise my right hand. So it is when I made my confession to enlist in the army of God. I was asked to raise both of my hands as a sign of surrendering. I had to repent and confess and believe. I'm going to go ahead and read Romans 9:10-13. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Amen. And at that moment that I made that confession and believed in my heart, I had access. I had access to the ultimate commanding officer through the executive officer. The executive officer being Jesus Christ and the commanding officer being God himself. Now let's read Hebrews 4:14-16. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us in our time of need. God is amazing. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, there was a curtain that separated the holies from the most holy place. And when Jesus died on the cross and took his last breath, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Because, see, back in the day, there had to be an atonement had to be made. So the priest had to go in and make atonement for the people's sins. But because of the sacrifice that Jesus made, once and for all, it was done. He gave us access to the throne. Amen? So one of the things about the priest, they tied bells to him. So as he's going into the holy place, ching, 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 ching. If the bell stopped, he fell dead. That's because he fell dead. That's why you stop hearing the bells. So I think we need to begin to take to heart. I think that we do some things because we won't drop dead on the spot anymore. We keep testing God and saying, you know, well, I'm gonna push the envelope to this degree, but, you know, but not quite there. What happened if we just start falling dead when we just outright just disobedient? I think some things would change. At that same moment when I made that confession and enlisted in the army of God, I had access to gear that was used for spiritual warfare. So we have to understand that 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. Let's give God a hand right there. So you have to understand, once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, now you have access. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Gifts come along with that. Gifts come along with that. I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 12 to figure out what's your gifts. Because there's nothing more frustrating than going through this walk and not knowing what you're supposed to do. That's many people's frustration in the body of Christ. They have no idea, been saved for years, but have never taken the time to figure out what their gift is. Amen? I'm going to finish 12 here. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So I'm not going to give the enemy too much airplay, but there's a hierarchy in the demonic force. There's a hierarchy, just like there's a hierarchy in the heavenlies. But we win. Just so you know, we win. And see, that's the victor's crown. Those are things you have to understand. That's why we walk in victory. We're confident in him because we've accepted us. He's on our side. Amen? Now, what we have to do is to make sure that we're choosing a side. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I'd rather you be hot or cold. Don't keep playing with God. Don't keep playing with God. Amen? So let's close here with these verses that deal with the equipment that now that we've accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior, that we get now. We're going to first look at the belt of truth, which is in verse 14. The belt of truth is the central piece of the Roman soldier's army that held all the other parts together. Evelyn, can you put that picture up? So let's do that again. The belt of truth is the central piece of the Roman soldier's armor that held all the other parts together. Truth represents God's word. Girding up our loins with truth means to make yourself ready for battle. Let's look at the breastplate of righteousness, which is also in verse 14. The Roman soldiers were disciplined and they polished this piece of weaponry every day so that when they went into battle, the glare from the sun would reflect off the piece of weaponry and blind the enemy. Our righteousness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about the breastplate of righteousness. When the enemy comes to condemn us as believers, we put on the light of Christ and silence the voice of condemnation. So I can hear you asking, so what happens if I fall short? 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you miss the mark, he's given you an avenue to take to get it right. Amen? The breastplate of righteousness is only I don't know if I would read that one. The breastplate of righteousness is only available to sons and daughters of God, to those who've accepted Christ. Remember I told you? The military didn't issue me my gear for war until I took the oath. You don't get the benefits of this if you haven't accepted him as your Lord and personal Savior. He ain't just handing stuff out for the sake of handing it out. Symbolically, the breastplate also protects the most important part of the body, the heart. By wearing the breastplate of righteousness, we can protect ourselves from the arrows of the enemy. This ties into his schemes and different things that he shoots at us on a constant basis. Verse 15 talks about the sandals or the shoes of preparation of the gospel of peace. Shoes protect your feet and enable you to walk on rocky terrain. Could you imagine, like, some of these mountainous areas, you walking that with bare feet? That'd be pretty tough. This part of the armor of God is speaking of both preparation and readiness to share the gospel. So how do you respond when someone comes and asks you a question about what you believe? Are you fearful? Do you share? Do you walk away? See, there has to be a level of confidence and boldness that we have in Christ. And I even encourage you to ask for divine appointments. When you get up in the morning, ask God for divine appointments. Without fail, if I ask God for divine appointments, I don't even have to go to someone. They'll come to my office and ask me about Christ. That's what God will do for you, amen? Amen. This piece of God's armor is also symbolic, that God might call you to walk some difficult areas on your way to fulfilling your destiny. The sandals or shoes of preparation for the gospel of peace. This is not an easy walk. It's really not. It's not an easy walk at all, and it's not for the faint at heart. But by putting on the sandals of peace, you have the peace of God to continue the good fight of faith, no matter the difficulties of the road. We're going to run into some things that's going to set us back a little bit. We're going to run into some things that shock us, but Pastor always says, it didn't surprise God. Where he's at right now, and I know you probably had to hold him back to stop him from coming in here and Friday to the jail, but the thing is, nothing catches God by surprise. Who wouldn't serve somebody like that? He's omniscient. He knows everything. So nothing catches him by surprise. Let's look at verse 16, the shield of faith. As believers, we walk by faith. And it is through faith in God that we can believe for the impossible things, hope for better days, and believe in faithfulness of God's word and promises. Without faith, all schemes of the enemy will hit us. You got to believe. You got to believe. It says now faith. So when do you exercise faith? Now. So when something comes in your way, when you exercise faith, now. You got to believe now. Because as soon as it takes a smidgen of doubt, faith evaporates. If you can tell me that you can believe and doubt at the same time, you're not telling me the truth. There's no way. They don't coexist. You can't doubt and believe at the same time. The Roman soldier would daily anoint his shield with oil to stop it from becoming useless. The symbolism here is that your faith can run dry unless it has a fresh unction of the Holy Spirit daily. So what's your daily ritual? Do you get up and pray, read the word, or does he wake you up in the wee hours of the morning and you grab the remote, turn the TV, until you fall back to sleep? That's the opportunity that he wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you during those times. And how awesome is that, that he thought enough of you to wake you up and talk to you and give you guidance and direction for your day? See, that's part of being that watchman. When you get up like that, God will speak some things to you. And Pastor always says it as well. He says, God makes us look a whole lot smarter than we really are. Because he, my God, He wakes me up at 3, 4 just about every morning. I'm not saying you're me. I'm just saying what he does for me. And if my wife, which I didn't acknowledge, my queen, Marquita, and my daughter, Soe, I'm sorry. I think that if she would see me like at 3 or 4 in the morning in the house, she'd think I was crazy. Because that's just my time. That's my time to get with God, because I know that the enemy desires to sift my people as wheat. So I go on the offensive. I don't wait for him to hit back. I hit first. I hit in prayer. I hit in devotion. I hit in reading the word. See, you hit him first. Now, see, I'm not from Youngstown, but, you know, I always say, y'all, I'm like, east side, I'm from the east, and, you know, and stuff like that, right? I think Pastor from the east, right? Right. So when we come to east and stuff like that, I don't know why when we come into the body of Christ, we get all soft. We get all proper now. Somebody push us. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. But that's what the enemy is doing. He's going. Let me throw a little sickness in the house. And God had to deal with me on that, right? Because Queen had a little bout with pneumonia. And I'm supposed to be the spiritual giant in my own mind. I hadn't even gone in there to pray for her. And the Holy Spirit checked me. He said, take your tail in there and pray for your wife. And see, that's the things we have to understand. That's how the Holy Spirit talked to me. I don't know how he talked to you. But that's what the enemy will do. He'll keep pushing. We say, well, I'm going to just give him grace. I'm going to just, you know, it'll be okay. No. Beat him to the punch. Get up praying. Get up studying. Get up doing your devotions. Listen, it may not be a lot. See, we keep psyching ourselves out because we're talking about I'm going to read the whole Bible in the month. That ain't even realistic. But you got to find your books. You got to find those things that encourage you, those things that build you up. And, you know, I think John Ecker should give me a little stipend or something, because my brother always talking about his book. So prayers that rout demons and the hardback is break curses. This thing right here, see, because the Bible tells us that we should put God in remembrance of his word. Listen. You don't have to do a whole lot of figuring out. It says, warfare prayers. Lord, teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Lord, I am your end times warrior. Use me as your weapons against the enemy. And not only does it give you scripture, it tells you where to go find it. So these are the type of tools you have to use. These are the type of weaponry that you need to use to combat the enemy. Amen. The oil symbolizes the anointing of God. Our faith must come with God's anointing through prayer and worship. Let's get to this helmet of salvation. The helmet protects the head. We talked about that earlier. Take the head off, the body's dying. It's very important. And symbolically, to put the helmet of salvation on means to protect our mind from the enemy. Listen, we can't watch everything. We can't go see everything. See, we're fooling ourselves if we think that this is not having an effect on us. We got to be careful what we allow to come in our ear, eye gates. Spiritual warriors learn how to stop demonic assignments against their mind. I'm going to say that one again. Spiritual warriors learn how to stop demonic assignments against their minds. Joyce Myers has a great book called The Battlefield of the Mind. That's where it all goes down. Because it first becomes a thought before it becomes an action. So I'm gonna go someplace here. So it becomes a thought before it becomes an action. So that infidelity that transpired, that didn't just happen. See, it became a thought first, and you entertained that foolishness. Instead of saying, nope, I'm married, can't do it, won't do it. You didn't just wind up at the Motel 8. There was a process with this thing. She sent you a text. You thinking, I can handle it. Send a little text back. Stop it. That's a trick of the enemy. Making us think that, you know, making us think that we can do that and still get out scot-free. And let's talk about the emotional attachment that goes there. You didn't even make it to the hotel. But she's sending you texts. You hiding your phone from your wife. You hiding your phone from your husband. She grabbed your phone. It's almost an all-out brawl in there. Wait, what you hiding? I'll throw the queen my phone right now because she know my password. See, we shouldn't be hiding stuff from the people we say we love. Because if you hide it, there's a reason. There's a reason. Some friendships just aren't healthy, whether it's work or not. Keep it professional. And men, I got to tell you, they're really not attracted to you. It's the Holy Spirit that's in you. So what's happening is you're nice, you're polite, all of those things. They're probably not getting that at home or wherever they go. So they're drawn to that. And so 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not tempt you, will suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation, he'll make a way of escape. We always give Joseph a hard time, right? Joseph took off and left his cloak with old girl. See, we talking about, no, I can handle it. I'm good. No, run. He trying to wreck your home, she trying to wreck your home. Run. And ain't no shame in that. Symbolically, helmet of salvation. Symbolically, a Christian salvation can cause the people to notice in his or her transformed lifestyle and character. So if you're saying you're a believer, I shouldn't have to guess after I talk to you, if that's the case. But, you know, only cuss sometimes. For real? So always tell, I said, see, we have to avoid even the appearance of evil. So you tell me what's the difference, right? We both sitting in the bar. You walk in, I'm going to date myself. I'm drinking a 40. You got a 40. Where's the distinction? Where's the distinction between the person that's a believer and the person that's not? Avoid even the appearance of evil. Because what that does, that becomes a stumbling block for somebody else. And I know you're going to say, well, the Bible says be sober. I get all that, right? I get all that. But you have to be mindful that sometimes that's a stumbling block for people that you're around. And I can only speak for myself. This was, many years ago. We were stationed in Alaska. And, you know, I thought I was doing a little something. We was out eating dinner, me and the queen, and we had just gotten saved. And so we go to this Italian restaurant. We get us some pasta. I say, garçon, let me get a glass of that wine. Holy Spirit showed me that day. I think he told me, you're going to learn today before Kevin Hart even starts saying it. I tipped that wine glass up. I kid you not, it tastes like bleach. I said, God, you didn't have to do me like that. If you'd have just said don't drink it, I wouldn't have drank it. From that day, he took that desire away from me. That's just him. He deals with each of us differently. Everybody's walk is different. Amen? Let's close here on the sword of the Spirit. So the sword of the Spirit is the anointed word of God. When we draw out our sword from our belt of truth by speaking the word of God, we are spiritually slicing off wicked spirits. There's certain places that it's not beneficial for you to go, because there are spirits that linger in those places. You know? They take, like we talk about strongholds. We were talking about that a little earlier. When it comes to strongholds, there's strongholds over certain cities. This city might deal with prostitution. This city, the stronghold is heroin. This is cocaine. Every city has a stronghold. So the importance of us praying and knowing the signs of the time. So the men of Issachar, 2 Chronicles 12, I think it is. If you get a chance, read about the men of Issachar. They knew the time it was and what to do. And that's what we got to be. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's give him a hand and stand to our feet, please. Now, many of the things I said today, I hope they really hit home. The thing is, God says if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that he'll save you. What I love about God is that he's such a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is such a gentleman. He won't force us to do anything. And one of the other scriptures I wanted to bring to mind for you was, I could never understand this scripture initially. It says, for the Lord heareth not sinners' prayers, but them that do his will are those that he hears. And so me, I'm a why guy. I ask God, why? What, how is it that you don't hear them? He said they have to recognize their time of visitation. So God is in the place today. This is a time of visitation. He will hear your prayers if you have not accepted him as your Lord and personal Savior. And the altar's open. The altar's open. I'm not going to belabor the moment, because we have to get to a point to where we can't worry about what people around us think. I think sometimes we overcomplicate the word. He says, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. That's why I say you can't be overly concerned what people think, because they're going to think what they want to think anyway. One minute you're a hero, next week they can't stand you. You know how it goes. God is not like that. God loves you unconditionally. God will meet you right where you are. It's not about you coming. If we could get ourselves together, none of us would be saved. But the thing that God doesn't want for us is for us to have to hit rock bottom before we give our life to him. Now, he'll still accept you, but what happens is we've allowed ourselves to go through things that there was no need for us to go through, because we hesitate. Every head bowed. Father, we thank you today. I thank you that your word is falling on fertile soil, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that you were here today, Lord God. I thank you that you touched your people today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we would understand, Father God, the importance of the full armor of God and how we can receive the armor of God from you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, by making that confession, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we'll be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, Lord God. Help us as watchmen to stay on our post, Lord God. When you wake us, Father God, even tonight in the wee hours of the morning, Lord God, I ask, Father God, that you would bring this message back to mind, that we would begin to pray, lift you up, and honor you. You said that you inhabit the praises of your people, Lord God, not just in the sanctuary, Lord God, but even in our homes, Lord God, as we're exalting you and lifting you up. And Father God, we'll be so careful, Lord God, to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. We worship you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. This was a powerful word.
Hallelujah.
And some of you may be in a battle right now and you don't know. You need to come to the altar to ask God for a strategy, blueprint, a solution on what to do. So if you are in a battle right now, will you come to the altars? You're in a battle, whatever it is, in your family, in your body, in your finances. Come to the altar. Because sometimes we're in a battle and we don't know what to do. And it's not that we don't know the word of God, but it happens so fast, and sometimes we begin to doubt God and why we're in this place. And so we have to know what to do in every season. We have to be like the children of Issachar, the sons of Issachar. As Minister Brian said, we got to know what to do each season, because seasons change. And sometimes the strategies and the blueprint is going to change when we go from season to season. Anyone else, we invite you to the altar. I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. Altar workers, if you would come. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your children that have come to the altars. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, in this season where they are in their lives, Father, that you would open up their minds, Father, in the name of Jesus, and that you would give them a blueprint, you would give them a strategy. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would teach their hands to war and their fingers to battle. Father God, I pray, Lord God, that they would take up on them the full armor of God. That they will equip themselves with the full armor of God. The helmet of salvation to protect their minds. And Father God, I pray for the breastplate of righteousness. That they will walk in righteousness. You are our righteousness. Protect their hearts, oh God, from the wiles of the enemy. Father, we pray for truth, the belt of truth, Father God, that they will know the truth and the truth will set them free in every area of of their life, God, we ask for truth.
Yes.
That they walk in truth.
Hallelujah.
That they walk with truth, the word of God, the truth.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, and let their feet, oh God, be prepared. Be prepared with the peace, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let them take the shield of faith,
yes,
to quench every fiery dart of the enemy.
Yes.
Let them take upon them the shield of faith.
Yes.
For you are their shield and you are their buckler, oh God.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. And let them take upon them the word, the sword. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father, I pray that they will not be afraid in battle.
Yes.
For you have equipped your children in battle.
Yes.
For
Hallelujah.
You are with us. There yes. are more with them, with us, than with the world.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For war. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you could just lift your hands up, I just want to pray again. Prepare for war. Prepare for war. God has given us tools and He's calling us to the forefront. He's calling us to the forefront, to the battle. Like David came, he ran to the battle. He didn't wait for Goliath to run to him. He ran to the battle,
yes,
with his weapons. Father, we thank you today that our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through you to the pulling,
yes,
down,
yes,
of strongholds. We will not be afraid. We will not fear, for you have not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. We are the soldiers. We are the warriors of the Lord. And our weapons are from God. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We pray in the name of Jesus that everything of the enemy be destroyed in your life. Everything. lust is destroyed in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Doubt and unbelief is destroyed in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you believe that, give him a hand clap of praise.
Hallelujah.
It's destroyed by the blood of the Lamb. It's destroyed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Minister Brian. Prepare for war. It's time to war. Not draw back, but press forward. Amen, amen. This was an awesome word.
Praise God.
Awesome word.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.